Yeah! The Clash, right? They took a lot of heat, man, when they came out and went mainstream from all the other, you know, punk bands in the 80s. But, yeah, here's the thing. Should I stay or should I go? That's the question that we sometimes have to ask ourselves, not just in a situation of do we need to get up and get out of somewhere, but decisions, making decisions, and massive decisions sometimes really put pressure on us. Have you ever wished that God would just text you the answer? I mean, take the job. Don't move. Yes, buy the Camaro. And while you're at it, put the cookies back. I just wish once God would tell us, hey, don't do that, straight up. Wouldn't that make life a whole lot easier? It would. The truth is, life is filled with decisions. Some are easy. Others keep us awake at 2 a.m, staring at the ceiling, wondering, Lord, what do you want me to do? Other decisions are very important as well. Say there's a date night, and you get in the car, and you're ready to roll. And the question is, to your wife, where do you want to go? And the answer is, I don't know. What do you want to do? You are messed up. No matter what you say, you're not going to do it. I feel like sushi. Oh, we had that last time. Well, how about if we do this? No, I get this sometimes. Well, honey, whatever you want to do, let's just go ahead and do it. And the response is usually like, she'll even throw the Clash at me. You're just like the boys in the Clash. Make a decision. And it's like, here we are. Make a decision. You don't want to offend anybody. You don't want to do something that's maybe wrong. By the way, we always like the same thing. We end up going any place we go, we have a good time. You don't believe me, follow me. You have a good time with us anyway. But it's like, make a decision. Come on, Doug. Make a decision. The truth is, life is filled with decisions. Those decisions that keep us up at night, those decisions that make you sweat behind the wheel, those are paper tigers. Because the situations aren't as grave, aren't as big as you may think they are or as the enemy tells you they are. In Proverbs chapter 24, verse 13 through 14, it says, my son or daughter, eat honey because it's good. That's a good suggestion, all right? And the honeycomb, which is sweet to your taste, so shall the knowledge of wisdom be to your soul. If you have found it, there's a reward, and your hope will not be cut off. These verses tell us that wisdom is like honey to the soul. Honey was one of the sweetest things known in Bible days. It nourished, it strengthened, it healed in some cases. God said that's exactly what his wisdom does. Then comes this incredible promise in that scripture. It says, you know, that there shall be a reward and your expectations shall not be cut off. In other words, when you choose God's wisdom, when you choose God's wisdom over your own understanding, God promises two things. There is a sweet reward and your future has hope. So look at your neighbor this morning. I love when Pastor does this once in a while. Look at your neighbor this morning and say, God is not finished with me yet. Yeah. Now, neighbor, reply to them, no duh. Wisdom begins with trust, not understanding. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6 says this. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Most of us want God to explain everything before we obey. I get it. God usually asks us to obey before he explains anything. I mean, think about Abraham, right? And then Hebrews 11:8, it tells us that he went out not knowing where he was going. God told Abraham, go forward, go out. I'll tell you when you arrive where your destination is supposed to be. Can you imagine the conversation? Abraham, where are you headed? They would ask him. I don't know. Who's giving directions? God. When will you get there? I'll know when we arrive. That was how Abraham went out from Ur to go where God called him to go. We all like GPS, man, to a certain extent. I mean, God often gives GPS, okay? But he does it one turn at a time, it seems like. Just, you go this way, then you hear nothing, or you sense really nothing. But you turn that way, and then when it's time to turn again, God will say, turn this way. Sometimes we get frustrated because we want the whole map all at once, all before us, while God's handling us and handing us the next step. We're looking for something other than what he's speaking to us right there in the moment, in the here and now. Psalms 119:105 says this about God's word. His word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. That is much better than GPS in the spirit realm. His word gives us the direction he wants us to go. His word is his will. Anybody want to know what God's will is for your life? It's his word. His word is his will. If you want to know what God's plan for your life is, it's in his word. That's God speaking to us all the time, every day. Notice it doesn't say a stadium spotlight he gives us. It says just enough light for the next step. God doesn't usually show us the entire staircase, one step at a time. He says, take this step, and I'll show you the next one. That's how the Holy Spirit operates. That's how God works in us. When you're making a difficult decision, don't ask, do I understand everything? Ask, I'm trusting the one who understands everything. God has the plan. And if we just yield our thoughts to his directive, to his word, then we'll be led in the correct way and not try to do it ourselves or interject our own understanding in it. Wisdom refuses to let fear make the decision. Fear is one of the worst counselors you'll ever hire. Fear will guide you in the way that is the worst path possible. Fear has never made anyone any wiser, ever. In Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10, it says this, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with the righteous right hand. That's who God is. He gives to us his righteousness. That's what holds us up. When we become Christ followers, the righteousness of God, the holiness of God, the peace of God that transcends all understanding becomes ours. He gives us everything we need at that moment, instantaneously, in that crisis experience of salvation because of the finished work of the cross. And he gives it to us in droves. The wisdom that God gives, the word says he gives it liberally. He continually pours it out to us. Fear says, what if I fail? Faith says, what does the word say? What does the word tell me? What does the word direct me to do? Fear says, what if it doesn't work? Faith says, what did God say? What does the word say? I've discovered something over the years. Look at me, I'm so wise in all my years. And I've discovered this. Pressure, you ready for this? Pressure usually comes from other people. Pressure comes from people or your perception of what people are thinking about you. Peace and peace of mind comes from God. You want real peace? You want peace of mind, as the word says, that passes all understanding or knowledge of how it could come or where it comes from. then you listen to the word, you see the word, you read the word, you declare the word, you say, I am what the word says I am, I can do what the word says I can do, because God's word is God speaking to me all the time. That is his will. Somebody says, well, you've got to decide today. You ever heard that come at you from a Zoom call or something? You've got to decide today. Well, maybe. I get it. But if someone's trying to pressure me into making a life-changing decision before I've prayed about it, chances are that isn't wisdom talking. Praying about it, believing for it, asking God and declaring his word on it will give you peace of mind to make the right decision. My mom would always tell me, she grew up in a parsonage, and I grew up in a church. From the time I was born, I come from the Church of the Nazarene. I was a fourth generation Nazarene. My grandfather was a pastor in the Nazarene Church for 67 years. And I grew up in it. I understood it. And I remember as a teenager, and even before then, even as an elementary kid, all right, I would ask my mom to what about this decision? What about that? Or if I'd ask her in high school, what about this? What about that? You know, and she'd always give me that straight answer. Go pray about it. And then she would add on, and then come back to me and I'll tell you what God said. And we always would do that, you know, and talk to each other that way. She would tell me that. But no, when you pray about it, and some people think of prayer this way. Oh, no, it's come to this. I've got to pray. I've done everything. There's nothing else I can do. You're telling me I've got to pray about it? Oh, no, not this. It should be the first thing we do. It should be the first avenue we turn on. One of the biggest mistakes we make is confusing pressure with God's leading. God doesn't pressure. If you're feeling pressure, it is not from God. If you're feeling stress, it is not from God. If you're feeling fear, it is not from God. God doesn't put that evil on you. He's a good God. God may prompt. God may, by the Spirit, convict. But he does not manipulate. And a lot of people have accused God of manipulation because they've seen other Christ followers try to use that, or other preachers try to use that type of thing to manipulate somebody into doing something. God is not a man that he should lie, the word says. God doesn't do things the way you and I do things, or the way that the world does things, because we are led by natural tendencies. But God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And the only way we can get to that area of worship with God directly is by the word, by the spirit, and by prayer. It's the only way. Elijah listened to fear. I remember Pastor Damon talking about this a few weeks ago, and he ran into the wilderness thinking that, you know, he was going to be killed by people who were after him because he gave a prophecy that didn't tickle the ears of people, and he ran into the wilderness because he was afraid. David heard bad news too, but he responded a little bit differently. Psalms 56:3 says this. David said, what time or the times I was or am afraid, I will trust in you. When you feel fear, when you feel fear knocking at the door, when you feel a fear and a fear fleshly feeling, fickle finger of fate, when you hear those fears coming into your head and you're saying, okay, wait a minute, I don't feel that's from God, I don't feel right about it, then you go to the word and see what God's promised you. The word tells you what God has promised you. The word is very clear that God has promised us everything we need. And my God shall supply all of my need according to his riches in glory in Christ. Everything I need, he's already provided because of what Jesus did, not what I do. He is incredibly good. Notice David didn't deny fear. He didn't say, well, there's no such thing as fear. He just refused to let fear be the driving force in his life. So the point is, don't let fear drive your decisions. Don't let fear get behind the steering wheel of your life. Don't even let it in the car. Don't even pay attention to fear. When fear is trying to make you make a decision, know that that is not from God. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but love, power, and a sound mind. Then we know that fear has no option in this decision. Fear has no place in this decision. I'm trusting God and His Word, and if it's based on fear, it is not the right decision. My wife would tell me, her mom would tell her this as a kid, and she's lived this her entire life. Her mom would say, Jeannie, if in doubt, don't. If doubt has an inkling in it, don't. Don't push something unless you have a peace in your heart. And there has to be peace in your heart in order to know it's from God, because God doesn't bring anything but peace. And if you don't have peace, then I would wait upon the Lord and He will renew your strength of mind and body. That's what the Word promises us. Wisdom listens to the Holy Spirit. James 1:5 says this, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives it all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. God doesn't just give you wisdom. It says that He just pours it out on you, overflowing. If you haven't asked for wisdom, the promise of the Word of God says, if you do and trust God and thank Him for it by the Word, you'll have wisdom overflowing. Man, do I know some people in D.C. who could use that. And in Alton. And in Warden. Everywhere in my house. Me. I need to ask more wisdom and asking God to supply it, because His promises, I'll give it to you, not just enough, but overflowing, liberally. That's all we have to do is ask. That's the plan. He never says, you've asked too many questions. He says, come ask again. He doesn't cut us off if we have questions. He says, Bring them to me. Bring me more. If you have anything else you need, if you have any other questions, if you have any other decisions, bring them to me. And it says in the Word that His yoke is easy, His burden is light, and that He tells us to cast all of our cares upon Him because He cares for us. He's a good God. Through His Word, if a decision violates Scripture, the conversation's over. It's over. If the Word doesn't back it up, if the Word doesn't say this is truth, it is not truth. The Word of God is the only truth there is. It's the only truth you'll ever know. And if Scripture doesn't back it up, the conversation is over. Second, how do we find out the right decision from God? Through His peace. Colossians 3:15 says this, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body. And be thankful. That word rule means to umpire. Safe, out, go, stop. That's what that word means. Rule in your hearts. Let God be the one that tells you what to do, when to do it. He doesn't do it by manipulation. He doesn't do it because He wants to just control you and not allow you to make any decisions. God has given us free will, but He's given us the ability to choose the right direction. Look, there are off ramps on I-55, but you only want to get off on the one that you need to get you to the place you need to go. The problem is, and I know this by experience, if you get off on the wrong off ramp, you end up in some place you really should not be. And that happens sometimes when you're distracted, or when things in your life are overwhelming, or you've got too many things on your mind and you edge off. Now, again, I wasn't made to do that, but I just got distracted and went off in that direction. If I would have placed my faith more on the GPS, all right, and less on my chauvinistic knowledge of everything, right? Then I would have probably stayed on the right path and continued to go. But we have to listen to what God says, exit off. Now, I'm not talking literally, but I'm talking about in the area of the spirit. When God puts a stop in your spirit, You've got to know that's not what to do. I shouldn't do that. Or if God places a peace, even though it doesn't look like there's peace around, but you feel a peace about it, then you know God's got this. And honestly, folks, honestly, Christ followers, God always has this. He's got it. And then you go with godly counsel. Godly counsel is the best way to go. And it's not just based on, well, I know that this person gives good advice, or, well, this person's a licensed whatever. The godly counsel that we go to with people usually and has to be and is most assuredly needs to be based on the Word of God. If your counsel is not based on the Word of God, then you're just getting somebody else's opinion. The Word is the only truth there is. The Word is the only truth you and I will ever know. Proverbs 11:14 says this, where there is no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. The counselors we're talking about here, the Word's talking about, are those who are basing their knowledge on the Word, basing their knowledge on what God had instructed, basing their knowledge on what the truth of what God's plan is. Notice it says counselors, not social media. Sometimes the internet has 5,000 opinions, and none of them know anything about what Jesus said in the Word. It's just opinion. Find people who know God's voice better than they know your business. I'm going to say that again because that hurts. Find people who know God's voice better than they know your business. The Word is the only truth that you need. Romans 8:14 says this, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are sons and daughters of God. You are led by the Spirit. That is who you are as your Christ-following mandate has been given to you by believing in Christ, is that you have been made a son and daughter of God in the earth. And now you are able to do what He has instructed you to do if you listen and obey. Sometimes His leading is, it's not dramatic. No thunder, no lightning, no choir singing in the background. Ah, doesn't do that. Just a quiet confidence, a peace that you just feel. The Holy Spirit often whispers. That's why we have to slow down enough to hear Him. And then, of course, wisdom always leads to reward. This is where Proverbs 24 gets, to me, really exciting. There shall be reward, it says. I dig it. God never wastes obedience. Joseph obeyed. Years later, reward. Sometimes reward doesn't come like that. I would say most of the time reward doesn't come like that. Answered prayer doesn't always come immediately. But you know what does? The peace of God, and then allowing God to take that heavy burden off you and let Him deal with it. Noah obeyed. Rain came. Reward. Joshua obeyed. Walls fell. Reward. Jesus obeyed the Father. The cross looked like defeat. But that was Friday. Sunday was a coming. And it called it victory. So sometimes we're tempted to think this decision isn't working. Maybe it's just growing underground, guys. Maybe it's actually happening. You just don't see it. Farmers don't dig up a seed every morning to see if it's working. My 7-year-old oldest son, when he was seven, he planted a watermelon plant that my mom gave him, and every morning he'd go out to see if it was there. He was expecting a watermelon every day. And then I guess I was 22, 23-year-old father, thought it'd be hilarious to go buy a watermelon and put it underneath the plant. It was funny. He walked out and he saw that. And he was like, oh, I said, wow, man, you're good. And, of course, we took it, cut it up, ate it and stuff. And then I had to tell him. And then he just looked at me like, and you know, again, he's 7 years old. And he was like, and this was his exact, he said, why did you do that? Seven-year-old kid. I said, well, I was wrong, I'm sorry. But it was like, this is how we act. We think that once we pray sometimes that, okay, then I know I'm going to get the answer tomorrow and I can just go ahead and step out in faith and do what I want to do and do what I think is right. No, man, let God be the one who directs you on when things happen. There's times for it, right? Seed, time, and harvest. Seed, we talk about planting seed. It's that middle thing, time, that we don't want to talk about. It takes time to cultivate, to grow that, and then harvest comes. Galatians 6:9 says, and let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Then the psalmist ends with this beautiful words, your expectation shall not be cut off. Your expectation shall not be cut off. The devil attacks your expectation because expectation is where faith lives. Faith lives in expectation. Disappointment says, don't hope again. God says, I'm not finished yet. Maybe you've had doors close. Maybe plans have changed. Maybe people disappointed you. No kidding. But here's what I've learned. A closed door doesn't mean a closed destiny. It means an opportunity somewhere else. Sometimes God says no because he's protecting us from something we can't yet see. And looking back over my life, man alive, there are prayers. I'm thankful God never answered, man. Some things I asked for that I thought was good for me, but they really weren't because they weren't based on the word. That was my mistake, not his. There are jobs I didn't get. There are opportunities that I missed. And there are people I thought I couldn't live without in my life. But you know what? I thank God every day that he knew better than I did. And if I trust him, those losses that I may feel in the natural, through that dark, dim glass, we'll see in the future, were a blessing that he provided for me. In Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8 and 9, it reminds us, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, say the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts your thoughts. I mean, man, aren't you thankful this morning that God is wiser than we are, than you and I are, that he's so much smarter? Because, you know, he's God. And if we trust him and look at him that way, and not as an afterthought or, well, it's come to this type thing, well, then we'll start seeing and having that peace of God that passes all understanding, that peace of mind. Church, every difficult decision eventually comes down to one question. Will I trust God? Will I trust God, or will I trust myself? Proverbs 24:14 gives us God's promise that we've read. Find wisdom. Find wisdom. Expect and receive the reward. And then keep your expectation alive. That's what God's promises do for us. You may not know what tomorrow holds, but you know, right? Who holds tomorrow, right? We've heard that. When God guides, God provides. When God directs, God protects. All those neat little catchphrases. When God speaks, you can walk forward in confidence. You know the truth because the Word of God is the only truth there is. It's the only truth you know. Don't let fear make your decisions. Don't let pressure make your decisions. Don't let anything in your life that's outside of the Word of God be the final word in any decision you make from this day forward. Don't let that happen. Let the sweetness of God's wisdom guide you in every aspect of your life. I'd like for you this morning, we're going to do something a little different. Go ahead and stand with me this morning. And we're going to pray together, but I want you and I to pray together and declare something together. And I'm going to say it, you're going to say it after me, and we're just going to speak the word, and we're going to declare the peace of God. We're going to declare wisdom in our life. We're going to declare allowing God to help us make these major decisions that we face for His glory and for His honor. So after me, just say, Father, thank you for your wisdom that is sweeter than honey. I choose to trust you instead of leaning on my own understanding. I refuse to be led by fear or pressure. I thank you for your word that lights my path. Your spirit guides my steps, and your peace guards my heart. Father, thank you for all you've done for me. I believe there is a reward for obedience, and my expectation shall not be cut off. My future is secure because it is in your hands. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Well, celebrate about that. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's worship together. While you're standing, I think it's good to worship and stand this morning. And after we're done worshiping with this song, there are going to be prayer teams to minister to you. If you have a need or you say, yeah, agree with me about this decision, that's what we're here for. Let's worship Him before we go this morning. Amen.